morning. And Father, that our prayer is that we may know what the riches of our inheritance is in Christ. But Father, even more so this morning, I pray for the spirit of revelation to be imparted to us, Father, as we are in you, Father. Let us see the authority that we have that is in Christ today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Looking here again in Revelations, we're going to go back there this morning. And I want to focus this morning. I'm going to give you an overview of this today. And my voice is really weak, Rick. So I am going to need your help today to make sure that I stay up today. And as we got into this place, there's so much that this subject entails that to try to cover the course in 40 minutes is just virtually impossible. And so what I want to do today is I just want to give an overview today, and then next week Steve is going to be ministering in the pulpit. I'm ringing, and I think he just got to turn some of their monitors down. And just give me this out here, brother. Next week Steve is going to be ministering. I've asked him to minister. I'll be gone. And I don't like trying to, I think you folks are faithful. You're going to be here no matter whether I'm here or not. Amen? Amen. Brother Hector, will you go up and help? Brother Hector, wherever you're at, why don't you go up and help Rick this morning? Amen. Sometimes, how many knows the power is in two instead of one? And sometimes the sound has a mind of its own. But anyways, I've asked Rick to Steve to go ahead and minister next week. And I'll be gone. I'll be ministering up in Toledo at Cornerstone, our home church, next Sunday. So I'll be up there next week. And so I've asked him, and he's had a word for several weeks. And so I'm asking him to go ahead and deliver that next week. So let's be strong together and support him as he ministers and he brings forth the word of God. Amen. I believe today the revelation of our authority in Christ is imperative. The reason being is that it entails so much. It entails the fact of definitely the sovereignty of God, that all power rests with the Lord. And so in that, that revelation is imperative. And we need a revelation of our spiritual authority that is based in our union with Jesus. And I want to say that together. I want to say that again. Is that our revelation of our authority in Christ is based upon our union with Christ. If there is not a union with Christ, if there is not fellowship with Him, then we're not going to understand our authority that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? The power and the benefits that Jesus received as an exalted man are given to the rest of the body of Christ. What many people don't realize today is this, is that He is not just man, He is also God. What we do is we realize He is all God, but He's all man, and what we fail to realize is the body of Christ is that when Jesus died, He didn't die as God. He died as a human being. Are you listening to me? God did not die because God cannot die. But God who was, and that's why He was called Jesus, because He is Emmanuel. It was God with us. God existed and lived in Him. But how many knows that Jesus was a human man? And He was a human man that God chose that through Him. Why? Because God wanted contact with mankind. Are you listening to me? God wanted us to have contact and have relationship, so therefore He created in man Himself as a sacrifice so that He would be touched with every point of our infirmity, so that there would be nothing that we could not go to Him. Look, it's sometimes in the context of when we try to have a mindset that we are going to go to God about it, the God of the universe. It's hard for us to sometimes conceive. But how many knows that is why Jesus stands before us, between us and God, as the great intercessor. And because He stands between us and God, He knows where we... Why? Because He lived our life. He lived here on earth. He lived the existence of a man. But the greatest is not that He was a man. The greatest revelation is that not only a man that died, but that man, Jesus Christ, was raised from the dead. The resurrecting power of the Holy Ghost that was in him raised him from the dead, and he was exalted to be set at the right hand of the Father. A man, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? A man who died, who was raised from the dead, and who is now seated at the right hand of the Father today. Today we realize above everything else that our God is a God who has made every provision. That's why the apostle said he's given everything to us that pertains to life and to godliness. We have the ability to have a union and fellowship with the Father to understand our authority here on this earth. If we don't understand that revelation, then what happens is that we may have a head knowledge of the revelation of our authority in Christ, but to have a heart knowledge of it is what God is looking for today. Amen? So we are given to the rest of the body of Christ. We need revelation of our deep connectedness with him as our head and who we are as his body. That is God's chosen vehicle. God chose you to be his vehicle here in the earth to manifest his power. God didn't choose somebody else. God didn't choose his angels. He could have chose his angels. He could have designated them. Amen. And they would have been able to be obedient to him. They had the power and the ability. But God chose you to be the vehicle to carry and to manifest the fullness of God here on the earth. God chose you to manifest his power. When you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you say, there's no way. There's no way that God would have chosen me to carry his power and his spirit. But I'm here to tell you today, that is what the apostle is saying to the church. We need a revelation of who we are. No matter who you are, no matter what your education is, no matter what your background is, no matter what your ethnicity is, it makes no difference because God has chosen you as his vehicle to carry his holy presence and to manifest it here in this earth. That's why you cannot do it on our own. We don't have the ability. Amen. We as human beings, we are too frail and too weak. We are subject... Are you listening to me? We are subject to our attitudes and our mindsets. Amen. Somebody needs to say amen today. Don't make me work too hard this morning, please. Are you hearing me today? See, when we begin to look at ourselves, we look at ourselves in the format of how that we are, how that we were created, how that we were raised. But that's why that we need to be born again. And what we don't realize is that we think that because we said a prayer at one time that it's over with. But what I'm here to tell you is that what we did is we got the seed of God's word on the inside of us. What we need now is the revelation of who we are in the earth so that we may change the earth where we are. But we can't do that until we realize who we are to manifest his power and his glory in the earth. Amen. God chose you to lay hands on the sick that they may recover. God chose you to cast demons from those who are tormented day and night by demonic activity. God chose you to have a mouth full of his life to change the path and the trajectory of individuals that come by your way. God chose you. God chose you in the world that you live, in the neighborhood that you live in the world that you have. God chose you as the vehicle to manifest his power and his glory. God chose you. God chose me. Well, I'm not worthy. Well, of course we're not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. But that's why he made us worthy. Amen. I'm going to go on. I got a lot to say. So here, that God has chosen us as the vehicle to express the fullness of Jesus' power into the earthly realm. What good is it that we have a God in heaven that can't manifest himself on this earth? That's the thing that he used to say to the nation of Israel constantly. He said, you're serving a wooden stick. You're worshiping a stick. You're worshiping a plaque on the wall. An earthquake can come and shake that off the wall. What kind of God do you want to serve that can be shaken by a little shaking and can be thrown to the floor? Why are you worshiping a little stick that doesn't have the power to lift you up out of the problems and the situations in your life? You're worshiping things. You're worshiping idols. And yet, we don't worship idols this way. But what we've done here in America, truly, we have made an idol out of comfort here in America. We have made an idol out of comfort. And we want to be comfortable in our religion. But see, part of the prophetic is this. Is to afflict the comfortable. Are you listening to me? And comfort the afflicted. That's just the prophetic. I know it doesn't make sense to people, but that is a part of the prophetic, and that is to afflict the comfortable. That is those who are comfortable in the place where they're at, and to stir them up and to say to them, look, there is more. I understand what is going on in the society and the world that we're living in right now, because what we want is we want something that is not going to challenge our soul and our life, and that we can stay comfortable within the realm where we are. I declare today that some of the things that are going on in your life right now, it is only the Holy Spirit that is speaking to you, that's stirring you on the inside. I'm going to get there. Look at the scripture with me again, there in verse 17. Are you with me? Are you with me? Amen. That the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of revelation. Why? Well, verse 18 tells us why. That you may know. The word know there, if you want to circle that word know, means a full understanding. See, here's the issue. The issue is we don't know. And the only way we're going to know is through a spirit of revelation. We have this earthly walk. Some of you are going through situations and circumstances through your life. You're faced with dilemmas in your life, and you're asking the question, well, I just don't know what's going on. Well, what do you need? You need a spirit of revelation. See, you don't need logic. See, you can have an answer appear. You can have an answer appear, but you need an answer here to show you how and why it's going on. God wants to reveal himself, but it's going to take God revealing it to you. The only way that happens is through a spirit of revelation. He wants you to know that you have the power. See, we're looking for someone else to deliver us. We're looking for someone else to pick us up. When God is saying, I have given you all power that pertains to life and godliness, God has put his power and his ability on the inside of you to be able to change your circumstance and your situation. God's given you the power and given you the authority that abides within you to change your life. We're waiting on somebody else. We're waiting on another vehicle. We're waiting like the man who was caught in the flood. Amen? He was caught in the flood looking for a way from his dilemma. And every way that came along, he denied it. He denied it. He denied it. We're looking for every other vehicle when the truth is that God has made you the vehicle of deliverance. We're looking for a pastor. We're looking for an elder. We're looking for an evangelist. We're looking for a book. We're looking for something to come along and deliver us and to set us free, to give us the answer. And I'm here to declare you, what we need to be praying is not for who is going to be president. What we need is we need a prayer on God, give us the spirit of revelation and the wisdom of knowledge. Because, honey, I want you to know something. The election is going to happen Tuesday, but it's not going to be over with Tuesday, darling. It's not going to be over with. You want to know why? Because America will still be the America she is. And the only thing that will change America is for the church to rise up and to be who God has called her to be in the beauty of holiness and in the power of his might. We cannot be anything else. We will have to be. I tell you, in this last day, the church will be the agent that will be the agent of peace. They will be those who will literally barter peace and holiness in the ideal of many who will be on one side or the other. But the church, God is calling you to rise up with the spiritual answers that they need in their life. I have to tell you, I am filled with bias and prejudice. Just like you. Amen? And if I am given to my own wit, my own will, I am destructive. Amen? Somebody needs to shout amen. given to my carnal nature, my Adamic ways. I want you to know something. I am a force of destruction and chaos in my life. I am my own worst enemy. I am my own worst enemy. I am the man. I don't fear the devil, Shane. I fear me. I fear my dumbness, my stupidity. I fear my stubbornness. I fear the fact that I will not hear the voice of God in the day of trouble. What we need today more than we need self and flesh is that we need a revelation that God will shine into the church and let us see who we are, and let this be a time in the day of trouble that the church rises up and becomes the instrument of power and demonstration to change the world that we live in. What is the exceeding? Look what he says, that we may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. My Father, we have great power that God has placed within us, but we don't know it because we don't have union with the Father. Oh, we're busy. Come on, turn to somebody and say, oh, we busy. We busy people. We busy bees. Bzz, 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 bzz. We just busy doing this. Busy. And look, ain't nobody more guilty of it than I am. We busy. But we need to be busy. We need to be about the Father's business. Amen? I said we need to be about the Father's business. I am concerned. I can tell you this. I am concerned is this. It's already set in the heavenlies what will happen next week. But what we need to do and need to realize, we need a revelation to understand that the world is coming to a place to where that it must be stirred. God has done all of this to stir the church. He has done it all to stir a hunger and a thirsting within the church for the church to rise up and let him be God in our lives. Amen? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, which he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him as a man and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places? Look at verse 22. He put all things, somebody say all things, under his feet as a man. He was God, but he was a man. Do you understand that today? There is a human body glorified as it is, but it's seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, you all don't want to believe it. You think I'm preaching heresy this morning. I said, Jesus is a man. He is God, but he is all man too. That was the division. That's what was going on in Revelation, the great descent, that some could believe that he was all God, but that he could not be man. And others believed that he was man, but he really couldn't be God. So there was a constant dissension that was going on during the time of Revelation. The revelation and during that time of John, if there was ever a time that God is speaking to the church, it is now that God is saying that in similar ways, we are alike and God is trying to speak to us. Some of us want the world to end tomorrow. And there's a kind of hush all over the church. Amen? It was always easy. It's always easy when there's a mess to clean up, let somebody else clean the mess. Amen? One of the things we deal with our grandchildren all the time is when there's a mess, it's not my mess. I didn't make the mess. It's hard for them to understand the principle that you said at the table that you're part of the whole table. I said you're part of the whole table. The little chair you sit in and the little space that you have. Amen. It's not about you cleaning up your space. It's about learning to be a servant to clean up the whole space. I want you to understand that you may have not made the mess. I said you may have not made the mess in the earth. You may not have made the mess in the earth. But I want you to know today is this, that if you don't extend grace and mercy to those who need grace and mercy now more than ever before, in the day and the hour when you need mercy and grace, it will not be there. This is a time to give, not the time to take. This is a time to exercise our authority in Christ. We need to exude wisdom out of our mouth and speak the words of spirit and life out of our mouth. We have the power. We have the power to speak to death in the earth and to see it raised into a new life. We have the power in our mouth to speak to the sickness that kills the soul and the body. We have the power to be able to raise them from the dead and to raise new life in the earth. You have the power to change your life and to change others. I know I sound Pentecostal today, but it's okay. My roots are true. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head. Look at it, what it says. He gave him to be the head over all things. How many sees it there? He gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Number two, we have been raised to sit with Jesus in heavenly places, thus are giving access to God. How do we know that, Pastor? Well, in Ephesians chapter 2 and 6, he raised us up together. Somebody help me today. I said he raised us up together and made us. Made us is not grabbing our hands with a belt behind and making us. That's not what the context of the scripture there is. He has made you to be. He has made you to be, to set in heavenly places. He has set and called you to soar with eagles. But we still choose to walk with chickens. Somebody say amen. You say, Pastor, what's the difference between chickens and eagles? Well, stark difference. One can fly, the other one can't. One can fly out of trouble, and the other one can only run until trouble catches them. Hello? There's not a strong history of eagles getting their heads chopped off and ate at Sunday dinner. But there is a strong consensus of a lot of chickens who are losing their lives because they can't fly and they can't run fast enough. We have the power to be able to change it. God has made you. Look what it says here in Ephesians. He has raised us up. Raised us up from where? From the power of powerlessness. I know there's some of you saying, I'm tired, I'm worn. I've run out of issues. I've run out of solutions. I'm going to stop right here because the Holy Spirit spoke this word to me this morning. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to come back to this in just a minute. Matthew chapter 5. Just stay right there for a season. Matthew chapter 5. So I'm going to come back to it in just a minute, but I want to finish this. We have been raised to sit with Jesus in heavenly places, thus are given access to God's throne. Why? Because we have a relationship with him. I want you to think about it today. I want you to meditate here. The reason why we don't know is because we don't have a revelation. What we should be praying is, God, give me a revelation of what I have in Christ. You have things that you're dealing with and confronting now in your life, and you have no solutions. I am telling you, there is a solution. You need to pray for revelation in your life. You need to pray for revelation for God to reveal to you who you are. You've run out of solutions. You've run to the end. You've hit the wall. You've hit a dead end. You have ignored it. You are trying to live in a place to where that it's not going to catch up to you, but it has caught up to you. And I am saying to you today, you're not the end. It is not the end of everything. It's just the end of yourself. It's the end of your horses and chariots. It's the end of your flesh. It's the end of your way. You have run and there is no other. But I want you to know that God has destined you not to be a chicken, not to live in this earth, not to pick your life away, but God has destined you to be an eagle, to soar above those things that you are dealing with in your life. But honey, if you don't have a revelation of the eagle that you are, then you'll always live in that chicken lifestyle, thinking this is what I'm destined for. This is who I am. I can tell you that it is the thing that I struggle with the most, that has been the biggest battle of my life, is my identity. Because what happens so often in our life is that we want this. That is that we look at our life and we say to ourselves, this is what we say, I'm not worthy. Look where I came from. Look how I was born. But I am here to tell you this and to know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. And listen to me very carefully today, that you need to hear this, is that that is the same words that came out of Gideon's mouth. Don't you understand that I came from the poorest tribe? I'm not capable of this. And here God shows up and calls him the mighty man of valor. See, God is not choosing you because of how you feel on the inside. God is not choosing you because of something that is on the inside of you and how you feel about yourself personally. God has chosen you because he knows your end. He knows what he has called you to be. Amen. And here in Matthew, and so just let me go just a little bit further here. Next, at the cross, Jesus as a man defeated Satan and all demonic principalities and made a public spectacle of them before the audience of heaven, hell, and earth. You need to understand that your authority begins in knowing that Satan is a defeated enemy. I said Satan is a defeated enemy. And the longer that you treat him as if he has power, the only power he has is intimidation in your life. If he can cause you to believe the lie, if he can cause you to believe the deception and to make you believe this is what your life is and this is all that you have, then I want you to know that's when you begin to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you begin to look and you try to figure out your life through human wisdom, when God is saying, look, don't choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Choose the tree of life. Choose the revelation that I am your God and that I have something more for you than just now. Amen. Amen. I am preaching so much better than you're saying amen today. But I'm still going to preach it. Colossians 2 and 15 says this, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. For who? Can I ask you a question today? Why did he do this? For himself? For his self-esteem? God was struggling with his identity. God was struggling with his self-esteem and said, I need to punish you, big boy. I just need to make sure you understand I'm God and you're the devil. No, I think he knew that the day that God picked him up by the scruff of his neck and kicked him so hard, if he did have a mother, he forgot her name. Threw him so hard, so fast out of heaven, it looked like a lightning bolt. So when God throws something down, there's no mistake, God threw it down. It's the only thing that God threw down. Are you listening to me? But when he threw him out of heaven, he threw him out and his destiny was already marked. It was already destined that his end was going to be. And it's very clear in the book of Revelation, there is only one end result for Satan and his angels. And that is the lake of fire. There is no other destiny for him. He doesn't win. The only thing that he can gain in this life is to make you believe the lie that you are not who God says that you are. And if he can make you believe that you're stuck and you have no place else to go, you say, but pastor, I'm dealing with sickness in my body. I'm dealing with it. You may be dealing with sickness in your body, but don't let your soul become sick. Don't let your spirit become sick. Even then, you may go by the way of the grave. If you can go with a shout on your lip and a victory in your spirit, you are not dying in vain. Your body is not the most important thing. Your soul and your spirit is. And as long, no matter what you're going through, even though you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, here's the key, and you fear no evil. Didn't say that you weren't going to go through it. He said, though you go and walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what distinguishes us. We think what distinguishes us is our medals and our perfectness. Is that correct English? I don't think so. Our perfection. You know, I'm perfect. Amen? I'm perfect. And how I know that everything is that I'm perfect. My physiological is perfect. My psychological is perfect. My sociological is perfect, and my spiritual life is perfect. I am perfect. No, you're not. You may be struggling in your physiological, but you may be struggling with some psychological issues of your life. It is a constant walk of faith, but you can't walk it in the natural. You need a revelation of who you are. So you can deal with the physiological in your life. So you can deal with your diet. You can deal with sickness and disease because you are looking for Him. He's giving you a revelation that ever. And if it is psychological, and of course I know that none of you are dealing with that area in your life because we don't have psychological problems in this church. Just look at your pastor. And sociological, that's dealing with the issues of others, with the culture that you're living in. And then the spiritual, the demonic. Let me share something with you today. Here is a device. Here is a revelation you need to understand. You may be dealing with a physiological problem. You may be dealing with a psychological problem or even a sociological problem. That's when the enemy moves in. Amen? See, he's the troublemaker. See, he's the trouble. He's the one who throws and creates chaos in your trouble. Amen? See, just about the time you think you got victory, here he comes along. Amen? Just about the time you dealt with that thing from the past, here comes your past. You thought you had the door shut. Locked it, and you thought you hid the key that nobody would find it. And all of a sudden, who is it? Well, it ain't your candy gram. It's something else. It's your past. Messing with you psychologically. See? Messing with the fact of your inadequacies. Amen? Amen. Anybody know anything about inadequacies? Hey, don't raise your hand. You might give ammunition to the person sitting next to you. You don't want to do that. Are you hearing me though? See, in every issue of our life, that's what you want to say the devil created it. No, the devil did not create it. Are you hearing me? Well, how do you know that, Pastor? I can tell you why. Because you belong to God. See, you belong to God. And the problem is, your life is hid in Him. And because your life is hid in Him, and because you are surrounded by Him, here's what you need to know. You need to know that you, your house, you're the house of God. Everybody say it. I'm the house of God. Amen. So you're telling me the devil lives in your house. That might be something for some of you to think about. So you're telling me the devil lives in your house. So is it the devil's house or is it God's house? Well, I know some of you are dealing with the theological right now. You're trying to go to Scripture and trying to find out. I don't know if I agree with that or not. And I'm trying to make sure. I don't want to say amen, and that's really not what I meant to say. Are you God's house or are you the devil's house? The Bible says, I am the temple. Oh, Lord. Come on. I am what? The temple of God. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. So am I the temple of God? Am I the temple of God? But in your house, there are rooms. Psychological rooms, physiological rooms, sociological rooms. And if you don't keep those closed to the enemy, and keep them covered in the blood. Hello? Well, I do. No, you don't. Because you know what happens? You begin to open your mouth and speak it out of your mouth. And the moment you speak it out of your mouth and you begin to say those things and confess those things, you literally open the door for the enemy to get into life physiologically, psychologically, sociologically. He's able to get in. Why? Because you gave him permission through your nasty little temper. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying not to look at anybody. Father, help me. I'm just going to stand here and I'm going to preach to the fan the rest of the service. Because it's cooling me. It's amening me back right now. Amen? I told you the prophetic afflicts the comfort and comforts the afflicted. See, you can't move past your life without the prophetic. You can't move past your life until you realize that you need a revelation. And in that revelation, you have the ability and the power to prophesy your tomorrows. You have the ability because the Spirit of God lives and dwells within you. And you have the power. That's what he said. You have the power of life and death in your tongue. You have the power to either speak life or death to your tomorrow. That authority is yours. Did I not prove to you in Ephesians chapter 1 that all power has been given unto the church? And Jesus is the head of that church. And where are we seated? We're seated with him. Then why don't my circumstances change? Because it's not God where the issue is. We already know who the devil is. Are you listening to me? We already know who God is, so what do I need to do? Well, here's what you need to do. You need to improve your union with Christ. You mean I need to get saved again, Pastor? Well, maybe some of you, I don't know. Maybe you need to do it the first time, I don't know. I don't know your heart. Here's what I want to say to you, though. What you may need to do is you may need to go back and recheck your relationship so your fellowship is more intimate. See, you can't have fellowship if you're mad all the time. I think you can. I just want to talk to you. How's things going? I really love you. I do. Bless your heart. I'll see you later. Amen. And Pastor, how do you get past the mad? I mean, I have a right. I love your shoes. I have a right to be mad. Amen? I mean, I have a right. It made me mad. And then the preacher comes along and says, forgive my children, forgive, just forgive. Well, I did forgive. I said, I forgive you. Blast it, I just forgive you. I forgive you. See, you can't truly forgive if your heart is not conditioned to forgive. You can speak forgiveness, and you need to continue to speak forgiveness, but you need to correct. Because I want you to know something. If this is an ongoing problem in your life, you're not taking authority over it. And how you take authority over it is this, is that you realize God's called me to a higher place. What is this thing that keeps bringing me down to this place, this low place in my life? I am not seated here with the devil. I'm not seated here on earth. He has said, I am seated. He has raised me up. And has set me at the right hand of the Father on high. And I do not have an authority that is based here on the earth. I have authority. I have a word from heaven. And heaven has said, I've given you authority to change this circumstance. And then you say to the Father, Father, I need a revelation on this. Now get ready. Because the Father may say, hey, big dummy, you need to get your attitude right. Amen? See, we're living in expectation. We're living in expectation, false expectations of people. Here's why. Will you give me just a few more minutes? I know I'm past my time. How much am I past? Oh, geez, I got 3 seconds. Are you there? Still in Matthew 5? Yeah, this is what I contend. Everybody there? Matthew 5, verse 3. Very short, he says, blessed are the poor. Everybody say poor. Anybody been poor? If you've been poor, raise your hand. I'm not talking about, amen, you got 5 pairs of shoes in your closet and you got 2 cars sitting out in your garage. I'm talking about you only got 1 and it don't start half of the week. Amen. And when you go to your cupboard, you don't have choices. You're just trying to figure out how you're going to slice the potatoes this week. Is it going to be mashed, baked, or is it going to be fried? Amen? And for dessert, instead of just having soup beans at night, to have dessert, you're going to just pour a little bit of Carol syrup on top of it. Oh, hush. You don't know what it means to be poor. Amen? If you've never tuck your hand and stuck it down into a vat to pull up some pickled corn and rinse it off, you don't know what it is to be poor. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what poor means? It means you're in need. How about that? Amen. Look what he says here in Matthew. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, wait a minute. Now, at first glance, it seems to be a contradiction, doesn't it? How can we as a believer be poor in spirit? Look what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. What's he talking about here? In the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew 5, we read the 8 Beatitudes. And the first one in Matthew here says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a little pressure there. There's a pressure that is happening on the inside. What is he saying? Because there is a need in your spirit. Some of you are poor in spirit. Not backslid. Not sinful. Not in a state of sin. But you are poor in your spirit. You have a need in your spirit. And what happens, you keep trying to fill your spirit with other things. So when you become poor in spirit, you're trying to fill your life with other things to try to supply the need in your life. You're trying to be distracted away. That's why that when we are being pressured, see, most folks don't want to be pressured by the Holy Ghost. We want to go someplace where we can feel comfortable and we can feel safe. There's nothing wrong with that. But there are times that God is saying to us, the reason why we are poor in our spirit is because there is a cry that's coming out. But because we've never known what it is, we think, well, it's just, I'm depressed. I'm angry. That's why. Because there's a need in your spirit. If you're born again, God wants to give you a revelation about your spirit, man, and let you know God is trying to call you to a higher place, a more intimate place in your life. He wants to give you the kingdom of God. That's why he's pressing you in the spirit. God is trying to press you to a new place, a more intimate place in him. That's why that in every way you turn, you think everything is trying to pull me from here and trying to pull me from there. Why? Because God is trying to pull you into fellowship with him today. Amen? And blessed are those who mourn. The very next word. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. What does it look like to those who mourn? What? We think, wait, I'm an American. I want to be comfortable. I want things to be easy. I want to have confidence that things will be easy. That's the way of the American gospel. But I'm here to tell you that things are not always going to be easy. And God is trying to mature your spirit. He's trying to bring you to a whole new level. And folks, if there was ever a time that the church here in America needs to wake up and need to realize, look, the revival is going to come because the world is going to become hungry. But the church has to become hungry first. Amen? The church has got to become hungry first. And I'm saying to you today, all you who are poor in spirit, such is the kingdom of God for you. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And God is trying to call you to a different place. Your happiness and contentment is not going to be. Family is important. But I want you to know something is this. Many times we think if we fulfill this in our children and we fulfill that in our children. You know why we do it a lot of times? We do it because we didn't have it as a child. So we want to give them everything. Well, let me tell you something. If at the end of it you don't give them Jesus, you gave them nothing. If you don't give them a love for the Word, if you don't give them a love for prayer, if you don't give them a love for the Spirit, what have you given them? You've given them toys. You've given them the best schools. You've given them clothes. You've given them cars. You've given them opportunity. But what good is it if we don't give them Jesus? If we don't give them the kingdom? The hunger on the inside of you is just the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're the house of God. Because the Holy Spirit is within you. And he's pressing you. Amen. How many's ever been pressed? Pressured. Amen. How many's ever been uncomfortable? I've been there. Uncomfortable because I know I need to do right and I'm struggling with those two areas. That mourning on the inside, you went from being poor in the spirit that you are mourning now. You are, intercession is trying to break out in your life. You're mourning over your own spirit, your own life. That is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That is that God, that is at work in you. He's doing a work in you. The Beatitudes are about our life in the Spirit, our life in relationship to God. What is more valuable? If you were here Wednesday, you saw me give the illustration. Again, I love it. I can't help it. It's in my office and I look at it almost every day that I'm studying. That little piece of red tape is my life and I always think about it. That's my life. And when this is over, then it's got all that other white, eternity, infinity. But how I live in the red is going to determine how I spend eternity. See, don't be deceived. even many of our young people, they're not grasping. If you don't grasp it, your children won't grasp it. Eternity is waiting. And what we do here, see, when we get there, there's not going to be any crying from mommy and daddy. We're going to be held accountable individually for who we are. If you know, and you know who Jesus Christ is, you know, as you said and you hear the gospel, know this today, that God is speaking to us. If there was ever a time for the church to have that cry, that hunger to want to be in His presence. As I said in here on Saturday morning as I was in prayer, and the presence of God just filled the auditorium. As I was sitting here in the dark, I realized more than ever before that God is wanting to do something in the midst of us like never before. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me today?